make that frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my bitch.
Coming at you, I purposely missed the post, Proteus, and I did that because Gigi's been missing the post all week. So, good Lord, what's going on there? He has. He's been missing the post all week, so I purposely missed the post. For those that don't know what the post is, so, like, one thing that you're taught in any sort of broadcasting school is to hit the post. That's typically about 8 bars in to 10 bars in, wherever you want to hit it. So, you know what? I'm going to give you guys an idea of when to hit the post. Ready? Hang on. Here we go. Let's do a song that I never listened to, but Pam told me about it, Getting Jiggy With It. Let's do this.
Oh, that's fun.
Alternative, Nobody Gives a Crap, right? Oh, boy. All right. Let's go. Here we go. Let's meet the host before I embarrass myself even more. All right. Hit it. Let's see. Proteus, don't you love how we're always ready? Let's meet, of course, our first lady, the lady who always has nice things to say about Alima McFarlane. Hit it.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? I'm tired. So if I get loopy, I'm just tired.
Is that an excuse for your picks?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Dios mio. Oh, for last week or this week?
Yeah, last week.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm
tired.
I'm with you there, sister. Yeah, we don't want to hear what Marco has to say, because believe me, Marco went 5-0. 5-0, kids. All right, let's meet the man who always has time for a lightsaber at night, and not the good kind, guys. Hit it!
What's up?
Oh, man. You know what's funny? If you listen to, I'm going to drop the drop right now. If you listen to the last person that says what's up, it kind of sounds like Marco's doing it. And at first, I thought it was him every single time. Watch.
What's up?
What's up?
Doesn't it sound like Marco? Right? All right, let's meet the star of the show, guys. The guy that went 5-0, and he's the first one to say, I'm not one to say I told you so, but I told you so, Marco from Waco. Boy, where's his intro? Click, click, click.
Right,
I'm
there.
Doing the turn, guys. You might want to hit it, bro, because I hit it, and it's not going.
I'm not on.
Edit. Oh,
yeah.
That was horrible. Let's do it again. Don't do it, Marco. We're going to redo it. Don't do it. We're going to redo it.
God.
Boy, that sucks. What happened there?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, the mean streets of San Bruno really suck, guys. Man, and we're live and promoting it, and this sucks. You know what? I keep getting the turn, guys. What the hell is going on out here? You know what? I might be
I don't
like
even
Gigi,
know what that
and
means.
I might need a new Mac. So, do you have a Macintosh? Did I just say Macintosh? Hold on. Did I just say Macintosh? You!
I did. That's like an Apple,
three,
right? A Macintosh is
two,
an Apple.
One.
There we go.
Go from Waco Road. Marco from Waco Road? Oh, my goodness. Que pasa, brother. I am glowing in the light of my greatness. All of you bow to the mistakes. I did it last week. I told you so. And watch me freaking mess every single pick this week. I just jinxed myself.
Damn it.
I'll paint you shit.
That's what we get. You know what? Pam and I are actually have the same picks that my dog did, which is nobody gives a crap because we bombed. How'd you do, Cody? How'd you do, bro?
For the whole card, I got 8 fights correct. On the main card, I got the main event, the co-main event. Didn't get the Souza fight right, and I got
Bobby Knuckles.
So I went 3 for 4 on the main event.
Bobby Knuckles.
You know what? Yeah, props to you and Marco, by the way, for going and picking Robert Whittaker. Robert Whittaker. I just didn't think that he was big enough to fight in that division, but Marco and Proteus got it right.
No, I didn't choose him. I said he had a chance, but I didn't choose him. Marco was the only one with the balls to choose mm-hmm. Whittaker. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, props to Marco. Good. For sure, championship. Boy, we sucked, right, Pam?
Well, I don't Tammy? Suck, but, you know. I just had a bad night.
Whoa.
Oh.
That is disappointing.
Uh-oh. You know what? Out of respect for your husband, I'm not going to say anything.
That's right.
I'm not going to say anything. Oh, my gosh.
I have something exciting to share with y'all. Before we get started.
You're pregnant.
Oh, shut. No. God, no.
Thank you, dummies.
My
Thank you.
Paperwork for my concealed weapons permit was approved, and I just have to go pick it up now at the courthouse.
Who is it?
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my gosh. Now, by the way, okay. was this approved by Marco's favorite president, Trump?
I don't know. Yeah. North Carolina.
No, all right.
I'm not picking on you no more, Frank, because now you got to consider what you might shoot me.
No, but you know what's even more fun than that is I have a suppressor that's waiting for me. It's in suppressor jail, you know, waiting for the final paperwork, but, oh, I'm so excited to get that.
You've been waiting for that for a while.
Yeah, it takes about 8 months. A silencer.
Yeah. We talked about this on Proteus' mm-hmm. Primetime one week.
Yes, I'm so excited. Y'all just don't know. Yes?
Hey, Pam, are you becoming a hitman or an international assassin? What do you need a suppressor for?
Oh, you know what? I just do. Don't ask, don't tell.
What?
Oh God. I'm scared now. I'm scared.
Yeah, all right, let's go, guys. We got a lot to do. We have 6 cards. Thank you, Claudia. We have too much stuff to get into, guys. Let's get into it because we're not going to go into our picks because the only guy that can gloat is Marco. So let's get into it, guys. A lot to talk about in very little time. We need to make sure that we make time for Jessica Penny. All right, guys. We go to the main card, we go to the welterweight, we go, guys. Jake Ellenberger will fight. Not Shoe Face, but we'll call him Tattoo Face, Platinum, Mike Perry. Jake Ellenberger, guys, 32 years young. And I thought he was older. 31 and 12, guys. Jake the Juggernaut Ellenberger, guys, is 2-3 in his last 5. And I'll make matters a little worse, guys. He's 4-6 in his last 10, and let's extrapolate that a little, Proteus. The Juggernaut is 2-6 in his last 8 UFC bouts and has been KO'd thrice. Thrice. I got nothing on that one, bro? Thrice? Nothing?
Thrice?
Boy, that one bombed. All right.
Well, I can't drop.
Thank you. Thank you, Platinum.
I can't do a drop. Without,
yeah, thank
I can't do a drop without stopping your music, so I didn't want to do a drop.
Oh, all right, well, I didn't deserve one for that one anyway. He's going up against 25-year-old Platinum, Mike Perry. And there's no surprise to anyone, guys, that Platinum... Am I breaking up already? Am I breaking up?
No, just
was it me? No, that was the R2-D2. That's when we start doing the whole... submarine noise. Was I doing the submarine noise?
No, you weren't.
It sounded like a
face tattoo. Yeah.
All right. Well, he's going up against Platinum Mike Perry, 25 years young, and he's only lost once, guys, once to Pam's favorite.
Oh,
hold on. Where,
cue
where
the music.
It? Yeah. He's only lost once, guys. Oh. Hold on. We don't care about that. Come on. All right. To Platinum Mike Perry, guys. And yeah, for sure. We go to the... Hold on. You know what? This time I'm going to get this thing right because I haven't been paying attention, guys, because I've been looking at every single photo that Proteus has sent me. So we go to the one and only... Prados, what say you? Will it be the Juggernaut or will it be Tattoo Face? I mean, Platinum Mike Perry.
Yeah, I don't know about Face Tattoo. I mean, we've been on, we've talked about Face Tattoo a couple of times on this show, and I'm not coming at him. I just, he has a tattoo on his face that says Platinum. I mean, I don't know about that. Jake Ellenberger is
just in case he forgets his name.
Yeah, just in case. He needs to see it every morning. I'm not sure. Crickets, yeah.
Most of the girls don't forget his name, I guess. Could be.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Jake Ellenberger is really coming into a resurgence. Marco, I think you can agree with me that he's, you know, been up and down, like Tony has said, but I think he's gotten into the right camp right now that is good for him. Yes, he's coming off a loss off from Masvidal, but that was back in December of 2016. Of course, that's pretty recent. I don't know, man. I just feel very, very good about Jake. I feel like he's coming back out of some kind of slump that he was in. And I could be wrong. I mean, I could be totally wrong here, but maybe it's just my prejudice coming through or my bias, and I try not to do that, but I've been a Jake fan for a while. I mean, he's been in the sport for a while. I mean, look at 31-12-0. I mean, you don't get to that kind of status without, you know, being a badass. So I want to bet on Jake. I think he's a more well-rounded fighter. However, you know, Mike Perry has shown that he's got dynamite in both his fists, so... I mean, Jake's going to have to stay away from that because he has been KO'd before. I'm going to take Ellenberger. I'm going to take him maybe by second round submission. I'm thinking rear naked choke, just to get really detailed.
Damn. All right, we go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the Juggernaut or will it be, in fact, Platinum Mike Perry?
Okay, man. I hate to disagree with Proteus, man, because I actually met Jake Ellenberger, got several pictures with the dude. Nicest guy in the planet. You know, he's a former Marine. 4 years ago, I would have picked Jake, no problem. But I don't like what he's at the space that he's at right now. He's losing more than winning lately, and he's way too willing to engage in a brawl. And for whatever you want to think about Mike Perry, the tattoos on the face, and the controversy with the racist statement and all that crap, the guy can fight, and the guy can crack, and he's durable. He's tough as nails, and he comes forward and puts relentless pressure. He gets in your face and keeps marching forward. And because Jake is too willing to entertain a bro, you know, instead of staying technical or even using his wrestling base, I think he's going to get cracked. I think he's going to get cracked back. And in the second round, we're going to see Mike Platinum Perry TKO Jake Ellenberger.
Damn. All right. So Marco going second round KO for Mike Perry. And, of course, we always do the KO, TKO. It counts as one. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be your guy, Platinum Mike Perry, or will it be the Juggernaut?
Okay. This is what my thoughts on this are. You know, Jake, he has been around for a while, but, you know, he's only 32. You know, that's you know, that's not bad. Yeah, he has been on a losing streak, but, you know, the people that he's lost to, Masvidal, Thompson, Safadine, Gastelum, and Lawler, those aren't scrubs. And to me, it's like, you can't tell me that these guys are better than Mike Perry. The other thing that I was looking at is Mike Perry. Who has he fought? I mean, really, who has he fought? I was trying to look up, you know, I was trying to get information, and who has he fought? He claims to be a wrestler, but I've never seen his ground game. He tends to drop his hands, and he gets sloppy when he's tired. And he is a 100% striker, so he kind of goes in there to me a little bit haphazardly and just looking for that knockout. So I think that he tends to get sloppy and tends to punch and get tired. You know, and then Jake had that, didn't he have that toe gate where his foot got caught in the gate or his toe got caught in the fence last time he fought?
Yeah, that was against Masvidal.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, so to me that win was a little bit questionable. What would have happened if he didn't? So I am actually going with Jake Ellenberger. I've got a third-round decision because I just think experience-wise, he's just a little better. I hope he's going to be a little bit smarter and, like Marco said, not try to get in there and brawl with him. But I think I'm going with Jake Ellenberger, a third-round decision for me.
Wow. All right. I guess I'm surprised, you guys. I'm no surprise here, Proteus.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
I am really going to shadow Marco for a lot of this card, guys, because I want to get back. Boy, do you guys remember how I killed it last year? And this year, I'm bombing.
That's exactly
good
what
Lord.
I did to your mother, buddy.
That's right. I'm going with Marco. I think it's going to be Platinum Mike Perry, and it's going to be Platinum Mike Perry all day long because all he needs is one. He's got heavy hands, guys. And Jake Ellenberger, Marco's right. If it would have been, if you look at his record, guys, and look at his record, honestly, anything from 5 years ago and even if we go to 2013, guys, where he's beating Jake Heron, he's beating Marquardt, he's basically beating Diego Sanchez, Jake Shields, all these decent fighters, guys, only losing to Martin Kampmann, which is no joke. And then he, of course, loses to Rory McDonald. Heck, many lose to Rory McDonald, right? Hobby Lawler at that point, Rory McDonald, I messed up that one. Kelvin Gastelum, right? And then Koscheck. Well, I think Marco and Pam beat Koscheck before he left the UFC. Then, of course, losing to Stephen Thompson. No joke there, guys. He's actually lost to really decent fighters. But aside from Matt Brown, guys, he hasn't looked good. So I'm going with Platinum Mike Perry in a KO or a TKO in the first, guys. I'm not even going to wait till the popcorn's ready. Exactly. I'm going in the first. So and this is going to be a theme here, guys. I'm chasing Marco all the way down the way. So let's keep going, guys. Very little bit of time and a lot to cover. Let's hit it. We go to the lightweight. We go. Stephen Ray. Don't call him Stevie. Stephen Ray versus Joe Lozon. Am I right? Am I right? I mean, don't call him Stevie. I think only Pam gets the right to call him Stevie. Right, Pammy?
Mm-hmm.
No, again.
Okay.
All right, I got nothing. All right. The Braveheart, Stephen Ray, guys, 27 years young, 20-6, and this guy is no joke, guys. For those that haven't seen him fight, he's got heavy hands, guys. For a man his size, he's got heavy hands. He's going up against the one and only J-Lo, and not the one that we all like. 27-12, Joe Lozon, 32 years young, still relatively young. And I think big, actually, for a lightweight. J-Lo, if you look at his last five guys, been pretty good. Beat Gomi, Diego Sanchez, Marcin Held, has only lost to Miller and Dunham. And really, I mean, J-Lo really fights really well. We go to the beautiful, actually, we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be J-Lo or will it be...
Stevie Ray.
Oh, should I cue the music for you? Don't call
him
Stevie.
No. I was finishing your sentence for you. You know, Joe Lozon, I love to watch him fight. And
Go ahead, Pam. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, stop playing. Quit playing. Okay, Joe Lozon, you know what? I love to watch him. He's been off and on, win-loss. And so technically, if you're looking at the statistics, he should actually lose this fight. But I'm actually picking him to win by a second-round submission. Stevie Ray, strong, athletic, good all around, blue belt in jiu-jitsu, 8 wins by submission versus Joe Lozon's purple belt. He's got 17 wins by submission, though. And, you know, he comes to scrap. And I think with his, how he's been kind of flip-flopping with his wins and losses, I think he's going to go in there and do really well. So I am picking him by a second-round submission.
Wow. I'm actually shocked by that. Pam is sticking with her one and only J-Lo. We go to the one and only pro. Will it be Jennifer Lopez or will it be Stevie Ray? Jennifer Lopez, I got nothing. J-Lo, nothing? All right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
we got
this. Yeah. Now, this is a very close fight. I mean, they're both veterans of the sport. Whether or not Stevie Ray has been fighting in the UFC, he's still 20-6. Joe Lozon, of course, has been fighting the top tier fighters for, you know, as long as we can remember, and getting, you know, the most number of bonuses for, even though he's losing, he's still getting bonuses, guys. I mean, I'm going through his fight history right now, and, I mean, there are some big names on there, man. And you know, whether or not he's getting older, he's taking his time in between fights. I'm kind of a Joe Lozon homer, but, I mean, Stevie Ray is a serious threat. We've seen what has happened in past fights with Joe Lozon when he's fought a big puncher. You know, whether or not he can stay away from those big punches is the question. If it goes to the floor, I don't think there's any doubt that Joe is going to take this. I could be wrong, though. I mean, as I've said before in the past, that there's, you know, anybody could win. Anybody could do anything, and that's what we love about this sport, that it could end on, somebody could be winning, and then your boy Lionheart Smith comes back and head kicks some MF-er in the head and knocks him out. So, I mean, anything can happen in this sport, right? So I'm still going to go with the safe money here, Tony. I don't know if I can bet against Joe Lozon. I like Stevie Ray as a fighter. He's obviously fighting out of Montreal nowadays. I still have to stay with Joe. The experience is on his side. Again, I think if it's going to happen, it's either going to happen real early and Joe's going to get a KO, or he's going to take it into the deep waters and probably get an early third round submission. So I'm going to go Joe Lozon, third round submission. Thank you, Tony.
Wow. All right. We go to the one and only Marco. Marco, you're leading the pack here now at 5-0, really 4-0. But is it going to be Joe Lozon or is it going to be Stephen Ray?
Oh, man. I love Joe Lozon. Joe Lozon is a... You know, you got to make Joe Lozon some money, you know, to give out so many freaking bonus performance of the night, fights of the night. I think he collected close to over $500,000 in bonuses or more than that. Yeah, they got to make some bonuses alone. Yeah, he got like 14 of them, whatever. He's going to collect probably another one this weekend. I'm ready with Joe Lozon just because he got the bigger profile experience. He always... Joe Lozon, you know, you're always going to get an honest fight. He's coming to fight. Now, the quicker the fight goes, is the better for Joe Lozon. If he goes into the later rounds, Stevie Ray might have a chance to probably outpoint him. In the past, Lozon has gassed a little bit on the late second and third round, but it seems that he has corrected that in his latest fights. But I still go with Joe Lozon. Joe Lozon is a safe money here. If he takes it to the ground, he's superior in the ground than Stevie Ray. And I actually predicting him to catch him in a late first-round submission, either a rear naked choke or a guillotine or something of that sort. So give me Joe Lozon first-round submission.
Thank you, dummies.
Damn. All right. Well, Thank you. I, gosh. You know what, guys? I guess I'm going rogue here. Tam obviously choosing Joe Lauzon, second-round sub, pro third-round sub, which is kind of weird, right? Because the sweatier they get, the harder it is to submit someone. Marco going with the first-round sub. I guess I'm going lone wolf here, guys. I'm taking Stevie Ray, and I'm going to call him Stevie, via decision. So obviously going all three rounds. I just don't see how. I think Joe Lauzon sometimes fights to the level of his competition, and I think Stephen Ray is a good fighter, guys, but I don't think he's at the level of Joe Lauzon. But I just don't think Joe Lauzon, you know, I was listening to Rogan, and Marco, you listen to Rogan, so you might hear this. Oh, he keeps saying how certain fights take life out of people. I think a lot of fights have taken the life out of Ellenberger and Joe Lauzon. So I'm going Stephen Ray here, guys, in a decision. All right, we move up, guys, or move down, however. We move down, guys, to the Batman weight we go. This is exciting times, Proteus, because the Batman weight, not only do hot chicks like Misha Tate and many others weigh 135, but so does a little man by name of the magician, John Dodson, who was really a 125er. He will fight the legend that is, according to Proteus, if you remember, Eddie Wineland, 32 years young, guys, right. 23-11 with one draw, guys, in his last five. Not bad, guys. He's 3-2 in his last five, and really kind of has been, you know, 6-4 in his last 10. He's going up against a fighter, guys, that to me is one of the most boringest fighters I've ever seen, guys. I swear, when he was fighting the one and only John, who was he fighting, Marco? John, the one where he kept running and nobody was there.
Lineker.
Boy, I swear, he was running and tapping and doing everything, but he was doing the Dancing with the Stars without the music. He will fight John the Magician Dodson, 32 years young. And even though I think he's a funny guy, he's 18-8. And I think, honestly, his record is not as good as he's really fought, guys. In his last five, certainly 3-2, and there's only no shame in losing to Demetrius Johnson. But I think he runs a lot. So we go to the one and only Marco. Marco, will it be the magician or will it be the legend?
It's gonna be the magician, dude. Dodson, well, you know, former challenger for the flyweight championship. He actually gave Demetrius Johnson one of his toughest fights. He dropped in three times on that fight, as you remember. He also has a win over the former champion at the bantamweight division, TJ Dillashaw. So let's not sell Dodson short. He can crack. He is faster than Weiland. And the style of the styles of the fight is really sets it up for me. I mean, Eddie Weiland, former WEC champion, you know, he got a historic career, but his prime and his better days are way gone. He tends to fight with his hands down. I know that is Eddie Weiland's style. He never puts his hands up, but he is facing a guy that is faster than him and cracks way harder than him. And it's going to be a really, really bad idea for Eddie Weiland to fight with that hands-down style of his, because Dobson is going to blitz him, crack him, and knock him out quick early on the second round. Take Dobson to the bank.
Wow. Ooh. All right. So second round KO for Marco, of course, choosing the magician. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be the legend or the magician? Because he disappears.
I've got,
because he's 5'3".
Yeah, well, you know what? I've got the magician second round TKO. You know,
damn.
If you look on paper, this fight, well, listen, this fight, I mean, it's a pretty well-matched fight. Eddie Wineland does have the height and reach advantage. But, you know, you look at his losses. He has 3 TKOs, 4 submissions and 4 decisions. John Dodson, his losses have all been by decision. So he, you know, He has never been knocked out, never been choked out. He has never tapped out. He is quick. His wrestling is great. Speed, explosive hands. I think he's fun to watch. He is quick. Now, I think the only issue for him is going to be the height and the reach advantage of Wineland, but I think he's just going to be too quick for him. I think his cardio is a lot better, and I've got a second round 2KO for the Magician.
Wow. All right. Will it be a trifecta, Proteus? Will it be the Magician, or is it going to be the legend that is Eddie Wineland?
Yeah, I don't know, guys. I mean, as much as I love Eddie Wineland, I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up with the pace of John Dodson. We might have a clear sweep on this one. I mean, I don't want to count Eddie out because, I mean, he's a veteran and he's got that heart that he can come back at any time. But again, I think John Dodson is like the Energizer Bunny. He's really just going to wear on him. Something tells me, though, Tony, something is like sticking in my head that Eddie is going to shock the world and knock Dodson out for some reason. I don't know why. Even though I'm getting that sense, I'm going to go with Dodson just because I think that's, you know, the safer bet. No, you know what? I'm going to go with Eddie Wineland. I'm sorry. I got to go with Eddie. Eddie Wineland, first, second round KO. Sorry.
Wow. All right. I guys, I'm going to go the wrong way. And for the first time, I'm choosing against. Am I choosing for the first time? No. Actually, I'm going against Marco again, guys.
Who the fuck is that guy?
That's right, guys. I'm going to go with Eddie Wineland. And I'll tell you why. If you look at John Dodson, yeah. He's got great power for a guy that's 5'3", guys. No doubt about it. But look at most of his wins, guys. It's been at 125, and it's been with guys, for the most part, if you look at Manny, if you look at Zach, for the most part, even John Moraga, they're not the height of Eddie Wineland. And Eddie Wineland, of course, doesn't have the power that Dodson has, but he certainly, like Pam said, he's got the reach, guys. He's 5'8", maybe on a good day, with shoes, with the Air Force pumped up all the way. But he is, right? No one got that one except for Proteus. But he is 5'8", and so there's a 5-inch reach advantage, and there's no doubt about it. Inches do count.
Thank you. All
right, guys. Well, good point. But I think this is going to go via decision, guys, because I don't think that Dodson, even with that power, is going to put out Eddie Wineland. Eddie Wineland, I think, has been hit hard before, and clearly he's lost a lot more than John Dodson. Actually, not more, three more fights. But I think he could take the hits, guys, and he only loses to people really that are his size or about his size. So I'm going with Eddie Wineland via decision. It could even be a split decision, but I'm going decision Eddie Wineland, guys. All right, guys.
Everybody's on steroids.
That's right, Nate. And by the way, I was just watching some clip on YouTube. I'll actually tweet it out of Nate Diaz. And man, I miss the Diaz brothers. All right, let's move up, guys. We go to the light heavyweight. We go, guys. Marcos Rogerio de Lima going up against Ovince St. Preux. And as much as I like OSP, guys, he might be one of the most overrated fighters, guys. I am not joking. He might be one of the most overrated fighters, guys, that I've seen in a long time. Marcos, of course, no relation to our very own Marco Pazao, 31 years young, guys, 6-1, 12-4-1. And if you look at his last five, guys, he's 3-2, and he's going up against our boy Ovince same crew with the salty 9-10 record, guys. I don't know what's going on with OSP, guys, but he's 1-4 in his last five, guys. 1-4 in his last five. I still get shocked by that, guys. To make it worse, well, let's just say he has a lot more losses than wins recently in the UFC. We go to the one and only Proteus. Proteus, will it be OSP or will it be Marcos?
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time with this fight. I mean, like you just said, OSP has been very hard to bet on lately. And I have bet on him and I've lost. Well, I haven't bet, but I mean, we've taken him in these pools and these picks shows. I've taken him a number of times and I've lost. I don't know what to do here. You know what I mean? It's very perplexing because I think that OSP is fighting this level of fighter that he is fighting in De Lima. I think he can shine against this kind of a fighter. I don't know. When he was in Strikeforce, guys, I was down with Mauro Ranallo, just like everyone else, and we were down with OSP. But since he's been in the UFC, I can't really get behind him, brothers. I can't. And I don't know. Here's what I'm going to say about this. I think that this kind of an opponent is kind of on the level, is what I was trying to get at, that OSP can shine against. And I think I'm going to take OSP in this fight, regardless of his losing record in the past, or as much as I've lost with him and picking with him, I'm going to go with him again. And this is kind of the same thing that I was saying last week. I mean, if he doesn't win this one, then I'm going to have to start betting against him. You know what I mean? This is kind of the make it or break it. You know what I mean? Stay in the UFC, or maybe, you know, you get shipped off to Bellator as well with the rest of the division, because apparently the UFC is giving up on this division. But I'm going to take OSP. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. I'm going to take OSP, and I'm probably going to take him by decision. I think he's going to take this to decision. As much as I want to say that he's going to do something spectacular, I don't know if the OSP that we saw in Strikeforce is still alive, is still running. And we've said this in the past, Tony, haven't we? That maybe OSP should consider, you know, moving up to a better camp. And I think that's a lot of the concerns that we have with OSP. But I'm still going to take him. I'm going to take him by decision. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Well, Marco, we go to the one and only Marco. Marco, OSP, or will it be your namesake with an S?
Fuck my namesake with an S. Look. This fight is happening in Nashville, Tennessee, and the former Tennessee Volunteer is going to get up for this fight, you know? He's a hometown fight for him. He's a home court advantage, let's say. OSP, yeah, he kind of shut the vent lately when it comes to his fight, but he has been fighting really tough competition. I mean, John Jones, the best light heavyweight in the planet, and you know, all the other guys that he had lost, that he was not supposed to lose to, but, you know, I mean, Jimmy Manuel, for crying out loud, he's the number two contender in the planet. So, it's like Jimmy Manuel, for whatever you want to say, he's a really good fighter that he can knock you out. So, I'm not going to shed too much on OSP. Yeah, he does fight to the level of the talent that is presented to him, but I don't see Marcos Rogerio de Lima is at the level. I've seen OSP is a better athlete, and he's going to shine on Tennessee because he's going to be up for this fight. You know, he's going to want to look good in front of his con crowd. I'm going to take OSP to win this fight on the second round by one of those funky submissions he can take, because that lengthy arms and stuff, he's going to put some sort of dash on this guy and choke him out.
Wow. All right. I'm shocked, you guys. Pam, pro, of course, picking OSP via decision. Good luck with the 205ers, right? Marco, of course, choosing OSP via second round sub. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be Mark Roger de Lima, or is it going to be OSP?
Well, you know what? Every time I'm down with OSP, he lets me down. He's got, you know, sure, what he has to me? For real, you down with OSP? It's like, you know me, I want to, and then, you know, it doesn't happen. But, you know what, to me, he has Uriah Hall syndrome. And that is what, you don't ever know which one is going to show
Ooh.
Up. You know, I did watch him in Vegas when he fought Jones, and you know, and everybody was expecting a, you know, first, second round knockout, and he stood those five rounds with him. But, you know, he's coming off three straight losses, which, you know, whatever, that, you know, anybody could come off that. But and the thing is, he's got that KO power, but he's just been lackluster in his last fights. You know, he just, it's like he's not there. I don't know where he is. Like I say, he's got Uriah Hall syndrome. He's a blue belt in jiu-jitsu, wrestling, conditioning, striking. And the thing is, he's got a 5-inch reach advantage on De Lima. You know, De Lima, his last four wins have been in the first round. He's a kickboxing amateur of a São Paulo state champ, Brazil national champ, South American champ, and Pan American champ for kickboxing. And I just think that I'm taking De Lima's second round TKO. OSP just let me down, man.
It's cool, I say.
All right, guys, so let's go to the battle of the crazy people. We have Al Raging Aya Quinta against Diego. So I'm not going to call him what he wants me to call him, Sanchez. And, of course, guys, we are at 155 here, and I think that we're going to start with Marco on this one. Marco, I don't know if you heard Diego Sanchez's interview on the Fortnite on Monday, but I was kind of like, you know what, man, this is not really an interesting story to me. I don't know how you felt about it, but let's see how you find the pick for this fight. Do you got Raging Al, or do you got the no nickname Diego Sanchez?
First of all, what do you do with Tony, man? Bring Tony back.
Tony's having a bio break.
Okay, it's okay. I forget him this time. Look, Diego Sanchez to me, you know, the former nightmare, the dream, the freaking sleepwalker. I don't know what the fuck he's calling himself these days. dude, every time I hear him talk, he sounds punchy to me. And yeah. It's kind of sad, you know, but I mean, he gave us a really good fight against Martin Helm, his last fight, and he won it, fair and square, a little bit of a reminiscence of old school Diego Sanchez. But I don't know if he can keep that up, man. I got no faith in Diego Sanchez. First of all, because he's too headstrong. He likes to get on brawls, and he I don't know, man. It's not the old Diego Sanchez that contended for the freaking title against BJ Penn. He has been too on and off late in his career. He's, you know, on the wrong side of 30. He's going to be 36 soon. So I'm picking Aya Quinta, you know. You're going to boo me? Fuck you. Ali's making a return. Ali's making a return. He's, of course, you know, been away for a while. He got some injury issues and, of course, very vocal about what he was getting paid with the USC. All that notwithstanding, at this point in his life, he's a better fighter than Mr. Diego Sanchez. And
you better not boo me. F*** you.
There you go. At this point in his life, I mean, even though it's going to be a little bit of rain rose, I think he's going to be able to withstand whatever Diego's going to try to throw at him and, you know, keep it on the feet and eventually freaking I'm not going to say TKO Diego because Diego is really hard to knock out, but he's going to outpoint him and outclass him at 30-27 unanimous decision.
Wow. All right, guys. Sorry. I'll give you a little bit when you live in San Francisco, if you park in someone's driveway, you better move quickly. No. Swear to God, I actually had to move the car. Not joking. So, bio break. Hold on.
Excuse me, bitch.
Guys shouldn't take 2 minutes to ask Nate Diaz. Like to he'll tell you. I was right next to him.
to absolutely nobody.
Thank you. All right, so Marco, of course.
Wait, before you do anything, quickly, what is your OSP, the Lima pick, man?
You know what? Going with OSP or DeLima, I just can't do it anymore, guys. I keep choosing OSP every single time. And like Prodia said and like Pam said, every single time I choose OSP, he lets me down. So just by principle alone, I have to choose Mark Roger. I can't go with OSP, guys, on principle alone. So anyway, I'm serious. I can't do it.
I respect it.
He loses every single time.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
With OPP, yes. But with OSP, no. Pam, the Diego's the nightmare stances. Does everyone know what OPP means? Oh, all right.
What else?
Look it up. All right.
Other people's privates.
Exactly.
Property.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was never mind what I thought, but you know.
Anyway. All right. Boy, someone has a dirty mind.
Moving on.
All right.
That's Pammy, right.
Okay. Marco, of course, going with Marco, you went with Sanchez, right?
No, I went with
Reginald
Jacuente, dude. Reginald.
All right, because he doesn't want to boo people, and he wants to sell Marco a piece of real estate because he's been doing more real estate than he has fighting. We go, Pam, will it be Diego, the nightmare, Sanchez, or will it be, you better not boo me, Al Iaquinta?
Okay. Well, this one, I was even, I had even messaged Proteus earlier, but I'm having issues with this pick because I'm like, this crazy Trump ring rust, you know. But, you know, first of all, both of these guys are crazy. One, you got Bop Those Local Forever crazy, and you got Don't Boo Me Motherfuckers crazy. You know, so, you know, I'm looking at that. Now, I was looking at Diego Sanchez, and this dude is that, like, nickname of the month club. He changes weight like he, weight classes, like he changes nicknames, you know. But you know what? Grappling, conditioning, aggression, that is him, 100%. Black belt in Gaido Jitsu, black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Al Iaquinta, and I'm going to tell you something in just a second. You know, I'm questioning the ring rust because he's coming off that knee injury, I believe, that he had. Three of his losses have been by submission. And he has a purple belt, Matsuri Jiu-Jitsu. And now the one thing that I'm kind of that's leaning me towards Diego Sanchez is when we were watching the fight a couple of weeks ago with Chris Weidman, I'm just kind of wondering what's going on at Ray Longo or Matt, the gym, you know, their gym, because he had made the comment about how they were training. And he says, well, Chris Weidman, his wife said it was okay for him to train. And I'm thinking, okay, wait. What the hell is going on here that you guys have to ask your wives and girlfriends permission to train? So that's kind of questioning my training, how they're training. Do you know what I'm saying? So I got to go with, what is he, the lion mare, knight, lion, whatever, Diego Sanchez. I'm taking him a third-round submission.
Hold on. I believe, Pam, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Chris Weidman's wife just called.
Fetch.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear that?
Hey, remember, I just got my permit. So, yeah, don't be, you know, I just got my permit. I'm legit now.
Stupid. You better not boo me.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right. Proteus. Of course, Marco going with Raging Al. I don't think they mean raging alcoholic. I think he meant raging Al Iaquinta. Pam, of course, going with Diego Sanchez. Proteus, will it be raging Al or will it be the nightmare or whatever his nickname is this week?
Yeah, I think that this fight, like Pam said, is going to be crazy versus crazy. And I think we said that at the top here. And as much as he wants to, I don't dispute the fact that Diego Sanchez has a whole bunch of heart. I don't. I mean, we've seen his fights, and we've seen, you know, what he can endure. But I am a little concerned because I heard his interview on the Fortnite, and I'm not going to lie, I'm a little concerned with where Diego Sanchez's head is at. Not because he thinks that the Holy Spirit told him that he should be called the Lionheart. That's not it. I mean, if you're having heart palpitations and heart problems and you're feeling in your arm, maybe you should go to the hospital and get that checked out before 7 days. Maybe you should do that. I hope that everybody has really put Diego through the gambit and made sure that he's okay to fight, because I don't really want to see anybody die in the UFC, and I really don't want to see Diego being that first person to die, because I know Diego will go out as much as he can on his shield. And of course, Ally de Quinta is kind of the same way. You know what I mean? I mean, they're both going to fight. They're both going to go into the center of the octagon, and they're going to throw down. That's the way I see this fight going down. I see it really being one of these kind of three-round wars that we all really want to look back on in years to come. It could be a fight of the night kind of caliber fight because of who these two guys are. So in the end, I'm going to take Ally de Quinta. I'm going to take him by three-round decision. It's probably going to be a split decision. It could go the other way, guys. I honestly am freely and 100% saying that, you know, Diego Sanchez is a beast. He ends up coming through in the pinch, you know what I mean? I mean, you put this guy up against the wall and he's going to just, you know, attack you like he's his life depends on it. I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think the 2 years off that Ally de Quinta had taken is going to be a factor. He's been training. He's been in, you know, the camp with Longo since he was, you know, off his whole two years. He's been training. Long-winded story. Ally de Quinta, split decision. Thank you very much, Tony.
Hey guys, I got to be honest with you. When this fight was first announced, I didn't know if it was a fight for Sanchez to make to get a win or it was Rage and Al. I'm not sure who is supposed to, you know how they do fights, or at least the Joe Silva special, right, for someone to get the props or someone to move up. But if you look at Ally de Quinta, guys, it really, I guess I've been the only one that has really followed the story only because I had concussion issues too. When I was younger, and the reason why I literally has you know, stopped fighting, not that, of course, that I was, let's be frank, I wasn't beating my grandmother, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? But the reason why I stopped kickboxing for a while, guys, is because I was actually, I had issues with concussions. So Ally de Quinta, I don't know if you guys have followed the story. He's had issues with concussions. So not only did he have a knee issue or whatever it was, but he's also been off for a long time because he had issues with concussion, so much so that, yeah, it's a battle of the crazies for sure. So much so, guys, that he actually was getting, you know, all sorts of studies on him for brain trauma, et cetera. So this may not be the same Ally de Quinta that we know, and certainly he's been off for a long time. Diego Sanchez should have someone testing him because he certainly has all sorts of crazies. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sure which one's crazier between the two guys, but so like Proteus, I don't know where I'm going with this, guys, but I'm taking the fighter that hasn't had the long layoff, and I'm taking the fighter that hasn't had concussion issues in that so much so that he started selling real estate, guys. So I'm literally going with Diego Sanchez just because I was scared to fight too, guys. So I'm going via decision, but I'm going Diego Sanchez via decision. And you know, not to make light of head trauma, guys, but seriously, it's a big thing, guys. And just like Matt Brown, when you can't even, you know, when you're having issues where you can't even look at light, it's scary, guys, and it's a serious thing, guys. So let's move up to the last fight, guys. we go to the main event, guys. And Marco, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, is this the main event? Because to me, this is not a main event quality. Listen, not to take, I'm stealing somebody's call now on, see, brain trauma. I'm telling you guys, this is serious. I'm stealing somebody's call on this one, guys, but honest to God, if this is a main event, guys, I don't know, maybe Cub Swanson can fight whomever, because if Artem Lobov, guys, and not to steal from Pam, but if he's now a main eventer, guys, Cub Swanson has gone the wrong route. Marco, will it be the Russian Hammer, Artem Lobov, or as Pam says, McGregor's bitch, or will it be the killer Cub Swanson?
I'm going to surprise everybody with my pick today, but I'm picking Lovett. And I'm going to explain my very, very weird pick for this week. Okay, Lovett, yeah, he doesn't get the skeletons of record, but all his wins, most of his wins are by knockout or TKO, so he's a hard hitter. And I'm a little concerned with Tom Swanson when he went into that war with, you know, Horiguchi. He took a lot of damage, man. That's the epic, epic, epic fight, where they were both wailing at each other with everything they got. And you know, those kind of fights, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, they always take something away from you. You never come back quite the same. You know, as Rory McDonald, after he fought Robbie Lawler, and then he had to fight his Wonder Boy Thompson. He was the same fighter. Gustafsson, you know, fought John Jones, and then you know, he got a little good run, a little good run, and then Anthony Johnson freaking flatlined him. So, that is my main concern. Any other day, I would pick on Swanson without a hesitation, because Lobat, I don't think, is not at the level. I did love the fact that he is a good striker. He is a tough-as-nails guy. He does train with Conor McGregor, and we have come to find out Conor McGregor is no joke. And the guy hit like a fucking mule. And he's tough as hell. Plus, the guy's a very smart dude. I mean, if you hear his background story, the guy got master's degrees in business. You know, he has opened a whole bunch of, like, little ventures and entrepreneurship. And the guy's a smart guy. Like, it's not like he needed to fight. He fights because he likes to fight. That fight with Horiguchi is that's giving me pause with Cub Swanson. I would have liked him to take a little bit of a longer break. But it is what it is. You know, he took the fight. We got freaking this fight as a main event. It should have been a main event, so now it's a five-rounder. And the longer this fight goes, I feel the bigger the chance of Lobat to land a weird hook, an uppercut, and a straight right or straight left, and put Constance on Quitter Street. So I'm going with the upset. I know it's possible, but not probable, with Lobat, and I'm going to pick him a third-round TKO. There you go.
Wow. All right. I'm shocked by this, guys, because I should have actually gone into this. But if you really look at Lobov, because I used to think what Marco is saying, and I'm not doing my pick right now. I'm just saying I used to think that Lobov, right, because we saw by the way, Cup 25 this year, guys, it's up. So I'm getting excited about this. But Lobov, guys, because we think of him as a knockout artist. But look at his last five decision, guys, or his last five fights, they've been decisions. So we go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, will it be, as you like to call it, McGregor's friend, or will it be killer Cub Swanson?
Okay, so we've got Cub Swanson, Artem Lobotomy. Who has he fought? Okay, who has he fought? You know, I mean, look at it. The one fight he fought when he was on the same card as McGregor, he fought Chris Avila, who is Nate's up-and-coming teammate, making his debut in the octagon, and it went to a three-round decision. So he couldn't even stop that guy. Now, he does have that funky Russian hammer that, like, he dunks you on the top of the head like a cartoon. And, you know, he's tough, but again, who has he fought? You know, you're looking at Cub Swanson. He's only 3 years older One inch shorter, but he does have a 1-inch reach advantage. Cub has ground game. He's got scrambling. He has jujitsu. You know, all last of his wins have gone by decision, so you don't question his cardio. Losses to Holloway and Edgar. I mean, come on, you know, he's not losing to Scrubs. Black belt in jujitsu, 7 fight of the night, 2 TKOs, 1 fight of the night. The only thing is, I would say he's going to have to be careful with takedowns because his losses have come by submission. But Artem has no ground game. So, you know, I got to go with Cub Swanson, and I'm looking at a second-round submission for my guy. And you know what? Jackson Wink is repping this card. So, viva Nuevo Mexico.
Oh, man. You just ruined your credibility by going with just because they're from New Mexico. Proteus?
Like, I am born and raised in New Mexico.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm born and raised in San Francisco. And you don't hear me going on about the Bay Area guys, about AKA, about never mind. I do. Never mind. Never mind. Never mind. Yeah, exactly. Proteus, will it be the Russian Hammer, Artem Lobov, or will it be Killer Cub Swanson? Best logo in MMA, by the way, aside from ours.
Yeah, I think that this fight is Cubby Sampson's to lose. As he mentioned, he's got a lot more to lose than Artem has to lose in this fight. And if you heard him on the Fortnite this week, he was talking about, you know, this was the only fight that the UFC could find him that fit into his schedule. So he took it. And I was talking to some of my Twitter followers earlier this week, and, you know, one of the girls was saying that she was taking Artem, like Marco is taking. And I said, you know what, guys, let's not, you know, rule him out just because we have a prejudice against him because he fights out of the same camp that Conor McGregor does. He has a chance. It's a fight. They're in a cage, stripped to the waist. He has a chance. However, like Pam has stated, Cubby Sampson is way more experienced. I mean, he's fought Jose Aldo. Yes, he got rocked and knocked out real quick, but he's been fighting the top edge of this division pretty much his whole career, even in the WEC days. So even though he has palm trees growing out of his waist, I am going to go with Cubby Sampson because I think he's got, like we've been saying on this card, you know, many of these fights on this card, the experience is on Cub's side. And I do believe that this is his second chance at greatness, his second chance at the title. I agree with Marco that, you know, Artem does have a chance as long as he can get Cubby Sampson or Cub Swanson to play his game. And I don't think Cub's going to do that. I think like Pam said, the Jackson Winklejohn fighters are just way too, you know, experienced, and they have too much, you know, knowledge in their brains that, you know, Cub's going to take this down, and he's probably going to take it down early. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say first round KO TKO of Artem Lobov. Thank you, Tony.
Guys, I'm going to be honest with you guys. And hold on, cue the music, pro. No, don't cue the music. I'm going to go with Kevin Luke Swanson on this one. I got nothing there, guys. That's his real name, Kevin. No.
We know.
All right.
We know.
All right. I'm going with Kevin Swanson, guys, and I'll tell you why I'm going with Kevin Swanson. I'm going with Kevin Swanson, even though I agree with Marco that his fights, guys, if you look at, honestly, Cub Swanson's fights, guys, they've been brutal. And if we go off that thing of that fights take out of you, obviously he went 0-2, guys, against Holloway and Edgar, respectively. But the killer Cub guys has Kevin has won three straight. So he's 3-2 in his last five with three straight victories. If you look at lowball guys, believe it or not, he's 1-2 straight, and he's 3-2 in his last five. But the funny thing about lowball, and I say this all the time because I have to rethink, because I'm thinking just his tough experience with McGregor. Look at his record, guys, his professional record. Never mind the salty 13-12, 1-1. Never mind that. Look at Ishihara, brutal fight, right? Decision. Chris Avila, who really is kind of a rookie, guys, decision, all three rounds. Alex White, decision. Ryan Hall, the submission artist, right? Decision. And honestly, I thought Hall should have won that. And once you get out of that, submission, draw, TKO, but then again, decision, decision, decision. So is Artem Lobov really the striker that we think he is? Or does he himself try to say that he's a striker that he thinks he is? Because I'm not sure that he's that, but I'll tell you one thing. Aside from the fact that Cub Swanson, guys, has made the right decision, I'll give you a fun fact that you guys didn't know about Kevin Luke. The reason why I'm picking Kevin Luke, guys, is because he's married to Kenda Perez, guys. He's married to Kenda.
Oh, nice.
You guys remember Kenda? You guys yeah. Forgot that. He's married to Kenda Perez, guys. Did you like that?
All right. Excuse me, bitch!
No, but honestly, guys, I'm going with Cub because I just think he's more experienced, guys. I agree that Cub Swanson has been hammered more than the Artin, more than Artin Lobov has during training with McGregor. But I'm not going there. Hell no, I'm not going there. But the one thing is, I think he's smarter, guys. And even though Jackson Wink hasn't really had the record that we think Jackson Wink has had recently, think about it. They really haven't, guys. I think Swanson's a better fighter, so I'm thinking Swanson via decision, guys. So let's move up to it, guys, because we have a lot of fights still left on the board, guys, that we didn't go to. So let's go into this. We're going to start with the one and only Proteus. Proteus, there's a lot of meat left on the bone, guys. So let's go into this, guys, because there's a lot left. What is your spotlight fight of the night? This is, of course, spotlight fight being a fight that's not on the main card. We throw it to you, Pro. What is it?
Yeah. Well, my spotlight fight of the night, of course, is going to be my girl, my Canadian girl, Alexis Davis, coming back against Cindy Benoit. Of course, we could cue the music anytime you'd like. It's fine with me.
Oh, sorry. My bad. Of course. Hold on. Buy more time. Oh. Buy more time. I'm ready for you.
Yeah. Anyways. So. Yeah. Yeah, there it is. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, this is my spotlight for the night, guys. I really am a big fan of Alexis Davis. And, of course, Cindy Denois is a big fan of mine. Or I'm a big fan of her as well because, you know, she looks good getting off the bus. You know what I mean? Doing all right. So that's my spotlight fight of the night, guys. I mean, it's good to see Alexis back and see her, you know, compete in this division. And Dandois no joke. So, you know, I mean, you can just look at her accomplishments in the UFC, you know, performance of the night, fight of the night, knockout of the night, submission of the night. So, you know, it should be a good fight. So that's my spotlight fight of the night. Thank you, Tony.
Damn, that's a good fight. That's a good fight, but there's a lot of meat left on the bone, and I'm not talking about Cindy that could use a few pounds. I'm going to talk. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
My spotlight fight of the night is Dustin Ortiz and Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno, I love, 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 love watching him. He is so much fun to watch, and then he's so happy when he wins. Just makes me happy. He's good then, you know. He's just like rainbows and butterflies and all. He is just fun to watch. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, but by rainbows and butterflies, you're not trying to break muse, are you?
No.
You're not. You're not trying to break news on Brandon Moreno?
Oh, no. He's like one of those feel-good kind of fighters. You know, that you watch him and you're like, yeah, man, that is so cool. And you're just happy when you win. Because I think he's just, I mean, he's ranked number 10. I mean, goodness. He's just, what, debuted two fights ago.
You
and,
like it?
It's great.
He's just fun to watch.
I guess it's great. Fight. Yeah, wow. All right. I guess there will be no alternative there, I guess. Yeah. Right. Okay, gosh. All right. Marco, there's a lot of meat left on the bone, Marco, at UFC Fight Night 108 in Nashville, Tennessee. Marco, have you ever been in Nashville, Tennessee, first and foremost? Because you've been everywhere.
No, I'm not interested. But if it is a lot of
meat
on the book,
damn.
Soak it up, fuck it, or leave it alone.
Carne. Carne.
Damn. Oh, my gosh. All right, so much for our ratings. Marco, what is your spotlight fight of the night?
The feature fight of the prelims on FS2, man. Smiling Sam Alvey versus Tyler Slater. We're going to see where Sam Alvey stack up. I like the dude. He's married to a hottie, you know, the former America top model reality show winner. The guy can crack. He always quirky after the end of his fight. He always got a call out, so he makes it interesting. Sometimes he can get a little bit of stale on the fight, but if he cracks you, he finishes you. Tyler Slater, former middleweight title contender against Anderson Silva back in the day, you know, he got a renaissance lately, you know. He had a little bit of a speed bump lately, but he has been looking good before he had the loss in his last fight. I'm interested in this fight. I'm rooting for Sam Alvey. He's a real, you know, quirky, kind of funny guy. He's kind of weird, but in a good way, man. So let's check out the Sam Alvey Tyler Slater fight.
I guess. You know what, guys? I'm shocked at you guys. You know, Proteus is here talking about Alexis Davis and Pam, of course, every single time Alan Jobon fights or Elias Theodoro, guys. I think we're deeper than that, guys. I don't think we need to stoop to the level of using sex as something that we do, guys. So for me, the spotlight five of the night, which to me clearly should have been the main event, guys, is Danielle Taylor versus Jessica Penne, guys. Let's be honest.
Really?
This is a fight
really?
That should be... This is a fight of two people, guys.
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
That's right. Let's be honest, guys.
Cross the top of the table.
Let's be honest, guys. Danielle, the Dynamite Taylor, guys, you guys often overlook her, but let's be honest, guys. She's 8-2. And at... No, definitely not. No, definitely not. No. For Danielle? Absolutely not. But she's fighting, guys, and Proteus knows this. I'm not one to just look at that kind of stuff, guys. You know, I'm not one to look at Jessica Penne's Twitter photos. I'm not one to do any of that, guys. But at 34 years old, guys, the 12-4 fighter, guys, no one cares if she's lost two straight to Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Jessica Andrade. Nobody cares that she's been TKO'd twice in two fights and she only fights once a year. No one cares about that, guys. Well, we care. Do we care about that? Are we? All right, never mind. All right, never mind, guys. Let's move on.
Don't believe
that's right, guys. All right, let's move on, guys. But honestly, if you look at this card, guys, aside from the main event, guys, this is a damn good card because even though we talked, Marco's picking, of course, the Sam Alvey fight versus Talos Latest, the beautiful Pam choosing Brandon, as Gigi would say, Moreno, versus Dustin Ortiz, or of course, Proteus choosing Alexis Davis versus Cindy Danjois, making her, I believe, her UFC debut, guys. There's still a lot of meat left on in the bone, guys. Brian Barberina, there's still a lot left there, guys. Scott Holtzman, there's still a lot left here. So there's still a lot of fights left. Let's go to some quick hot topics. One thing I want to talk about quickly, guys, is let's go into Bellator, guys, because quietly Bellator, guys, has a pretty decent card, at least as always, top heavy, guys. Do you guys want to talk at all about Bellator 178? Daniel Strauss versus Pitbull. No?
Yeah. No, I would like to talk about that fight. That's the one fight that intrigues me the most, Tony. I'm going to be honest with you, because Daniel Strauss has been out for a while, and it's good to see him coming back, and they've got him coming out of the blue corner. If you look at the website, they got a champ coming out the blue corner. I mean, this is the Pitbull that big a star that we have to have him come out the red corner, Tony? Do we?
Not really, no.
No, exactly. So I think this is a very intriguing fight. I like Daniel Strauss as a fighter. I like him, his story is intriguing. He's been off for a while. It's going to be an interesting fight. And, of course, our girl McFarlane is on this card. So, whatever, Tony, whatever you want to talk about. But I think that this Pitbull versus Strauss fight is very intriguing. And I want to see what happens here. I would love to see Daniel Strauss hold on to his title and maybe, migrate to the UFC at some time.
I'm going to draw my $0.02 plus 25 more cents on this one. Boo! How many times are we going to see Strauss and Pitbull fight? This is like Strauss Pitbull 17. They got more fights together than the freaking Fast and the Furious idiots, man.
I know, right?
Yeah, it makes no freaking sense. It tells you a lot about the depth of Bellator. And what, the Bells don't mean anything in Bellator at all? Making the Strauss win on the blue court? What the fuck, man? I mean, what are we doing that? Do the Bells mean anything in Bellator? Phil Davis should be fighting Ryan Bader in the very next fight, and Ryan Bader is not fighting Phil Davis in the very next fight. Mean Bells, the Bellator Bell, you might as well, trade it for a happy meal on freaking McDonald's, dude, because that is what they're worth right now. They do not promote their champions. Their championships don't mean anything. I mean, might as well be able to just do specialty fights, because that's what you're good at. Your belts are worthless, and these fights make no freaking sense. That's what we want to talk about, because they've been doing some good things in Bellator that I actually like, picking up key fee agents here and there. I like that. I like the fighters getting paid, but I also like the fights to make sense and mean something. This fight means nothing, because guess what? That bill that David Strauss holds right now means nothing. Why? Because he has fought people 20,000 million times, so it's not like we haven't seen this fight before.
Kiss your mother with that mouth?
Wow. Damn, all right, spitting some venom. All right, Pam, do you have anything on Bellator 178?
Nope, I'm just watching. I'm off Saturday.
Damn,
so
all right.
Friday is my Bellator night. Saturday, finish my painting and cooking and watching fights. I'm off.
All right, guys.
Well, this past Saturday, I missed all the fights because I had to dance. I'm sorry.
And we would love to see you dance. Guys, let's leave on one last thing, guys. The World Series of Fighting, of course, has had all sorts of issues, guys. There's no doubt about it. They've made a lot of key changes in the hierarchy, guys. But as Junkie was talking about it today, guys, shout out to GG and Goes, of course. World Series of Fighting will be relaunched in 2018, guys, and they're going back to their original roots, which were tournaments, and we all love the tournaments, I think. I certainly did, guys. They will be relaunching, of course, as the PFL, the Pro Fighters League. Anything on this? We go with Marco.
Oh, God. Do we really need the World Series of Fighting, dude? They lost all their champions. All the champions that matter, they lost it to free agency. Then they got this weird sale. The only reason World Series of Fighting is still alive is because they got a TV deal. And that is not the greatest of all TV deals. You know what? One championship that we don't even get to see in the United States is, as of right now, the second most valuable franchise in the world. Their net worth right now in Asia is close to $1 billion. That is something interesting watching right now. Yeah, $900 million. That is what a company in Singapore watching out like that. So, yeah, you should be more interested in what happened in one that it was having a World Series of Fighting. Whatever relaunch, reinvention, or whatever it is just keeping this company, this promotion on life support. Because I'm telling you, man, with all that happened last year and the beginning of this year, World Series of Fighting relaunch, reinvention, whatever, it's only trading water until it finally goes under. I feel for the fighters. Most of those fighters are probably better off Bellator or even on the minor leagues like Legacy and Titan, and you know, getting their skills sharpened up to move out to either Bellator or the UFC. But don't give me nothing with getting excited about World Series of Fighting. That promotion is a joke. It was good for while it lasted because it reinvented Anthony Johnson, reinvented Andrei Arlovski, gave us Moraes that is now in the UFC. Scoggins, I don't know what he's going to land. Hopefully he lands in the UFC too. Brandon Tash reinvented his career there. That is the best thing that happened in the World Series of Fighting. Everything else is pretty much forgettable.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Damn. All right. Well, Marco,
I'm embarrassed to say that I like it.
Do you, or do you just like Justin Gaethje?
Oh, no. I love any time it comes. See, I'm a fight junkie, and so anytime any kind of fight show comes up, I'm watching it. And I do. I love World Series of Fighting because it's like my 2 hours of zen time for me, and I love it. So any time it comes on, I'm watching it. So that's just me, though. I like it. I dig it.
Well, Pam will be the only one watching that. So, gosh, all right. I think the World Series of Fighting, honestly, guys, has been stuck with bad leadership. So that's part of it, but... Yeah, Marco's right. There are a lot more things that are more exciting, including, of course, Ryzen, etc. So let's get the heck out of here, guys. So we go to the one and only Proteus. Proteus, you have a Twitter follow of the week.
Again, I'm going to throw it back to my main man in Australia, Mighty Car Mod. They are doing a very extensive renovation on a Micra, a Nissan Micra. Tony, you'd probably be interested in this since you have a small Mazda yourself. Maybe you'd be interested in it. So I'm going to go at Mighty Car Mod. Thank you very much, Tony.
You know what's funny, guys? I actually I don't have a lot of addictions. One of the addictions I certainly have is cars, so I will be checking out Mighty Car Mods, and you'll be happy to know I'm buying a full size truck, Pam. So you'll be happy to hear that. We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, do you have a Twitter follow of the week?
I do not. I was lazy. I told you I've just been doing stuff around the house today. But you know what? Another
Proteus.
There you go, at Proteus, at DJ Tony and Marco Maldonado, another MMA podcast. All of us and me, Pam Dorbach.
The one and only beautiful Pam. We go to the star of the show. Before we go to the star of the show, I would just like to say, you know me, I'm not one to just follow people just for the sake of following people. However, follow Jessica Evil Eye, only because I miss her. And we'll be seeing her soon in the World Series of Fighting or somewhere. I don't know where. So Jessica Evil Eye, follow her. We go to the star of the show, Marco. Close us out, my friend.
I'm going to give you a podcast follow of the week. Follow The Unexplained with Richard McClain Smith. If you got a taste for the spooky stories that are going to give you a break at night, take a look at that podcast, The Unexplained with Richard McClain Smith. Follow Produce at App Produce, follow Tony at DJ Tony, follow Pandora Box, follow me at Maldo Marco, follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review us on iTunes, Knucklehead. You got to leave you guys. Catch you guys next time.
Perfect.
And my dad will work out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.